Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, it was a really tough passage that we heard today from Scripture. It's like almost in the middle of Luke's Gospel, and you almost want to say, like, where did that just come from? Especially on this particular Sunday where we celebrate our children going back to school, and that just can be such a hard passage to hear. And I will tell you, it was a hard passage to come back and preach from after having 5 days of vacation. I say God has a sense of humor. So it opens up saying, God, Jesus says, I came to bring fire, a cleansing fire, the kind of fire that we receive in our baptism, the kind of fire that the disciples received on Pentecost, the kind of fire that changes everything. And Jesus says, I've come to make everything right side up. God's right side up is our upside down. So we may say upside down, and God says, nope, that's right side up. Jesus says, I have not come here to smooth things over. This is the translation from the Message Bible by Eugene Peterson. I have not come here to smooth things over. I've not come here to make sure everybody's happy. And he says that everybody is nice. Right? I almost like, let's make nice, nice, right? When we get a little crazy, let's all everybody make nice, nice, nice. Jesus is saying, nope, I haven't come here to do this. What I have come to do is to disrupt and to confront. Whew, not the Jesus we really want, is it? But it's the Jesus that we need. Disrupt and confront. A word I'm going to call shaken, not stirred. Can you tell I've been on vacation? Somebody said alcohol does not belong in the church. Well, you can say that's whatever you want. Maybe it's lemonade and sugar. Shaken, not stirred. There's a big difference between shaken and stirred, isn't there? Because when you stir something, whatever is on the bottom tends to stay on the bottom. What's ever on top tends to stay on top. It just kind of whirls around, and maybe some of the bottom floats up to the top, and maybe some of the top floats up down to the bottom. But shaken, whew, that's different. That's totally different. That's where you take it, and what do you watch the bartender do? He turns it upside down, or she, and starts with that motion. I can't remember if I had a picture of that or not. No picture, okay. So that you can visualize it in your mind. Perhaps you have seen it done. Perhaps you have done it yourself. But you know the difference. Shaken is a much different form of mixing. Jesus told us that he was going to do this right up front at his baptism. We probably weren't paying any attention. Jesus said, I come to bring good news to the poor, sight to the blind, and freedom to the captives. Change. Significant change. Change of the power structures of this world. You see, for Jesus, his mission is God's mission. God's mission of compassion, mercy, and justice, which is the very character of God embodied in Jesus. It's God's mission that Jesus carries forward, God incarnate. God's compassion, God's mercy, God's justice, not our mercy, not our compassion, not our justice. Because if we are totally honest, ours doesn't look anything like God's, especially when it comes to justice. And you know something? We've seen this shakenness in our history, haven't we? If we just look at the United States history, think back to the Civil War. It was legal in this country, which is just so hard for us to fathom in 2016, that it was okay to go and capture another human being on another continent, to put them on a ship in the most hard of conditions, and to bring them over to this new country and to sell them and buy them and sell them and own them, another human being. Hard for us to believe that in the 19th century, this was going on. We're talking over 100 years ago, but not that long ago for us. What happened? People saw the outrage of that. And so there was a war that broke out. Sons and fathers fought against each other, brothers against brother, mothers against daughters. There was disruption, wasn't there? There was confrontation. Because God's justice doesn't look like our justice. Shaken, not stirred, but very much shaken. 100 years later after that, there is a cry that comes for civil rights, because while these human beings were freed, there were laws that the states were enacting that prohibited these human beings from being able to have the same rights as other human beings, all based on the color of your flesh. We sometimes forget that Jesus, God incarnate, took on flesh, human flesh. And so there was these Jim Crow laws, right, of segregation, unequal treatment of human beings based on the color of your flesh. That's the very same flesh that God embodied. And mothers fought with daughters over this. Spouses argued with each other. Churches, this tore churches apart in our nation, where some said, this is wrong, and others said, there's nothing wrong with it. What is it that caused these things to happen? Was it the focus on wanting to hold on to wealth and to richness? Or was it the focus of wanting to hold on to power? Being able to control everything that's around you. You know, it's really easy for us to look back at that time and to call something what it is, right? It really is easy to look back and say, that's insane. I can't believe that we treated each other like that. Or maybe we don't use the word we. We use the word they treated each other like that. But it's not so easy, is it? When it's happening today, and we're the ones who are involved. It's so obvious to see it when we Monday morning quarterback, so to speak. And we ask the question, how could they not see it? 50 years after that civil rights law was enacted, almost 50 years, I'll say 47, there is civil unrest going on in that same country that suffered civil war and that same country that suffered under Jim Crow law. The unequal treatment of human beings, the mass incarceration, all because the color of someone's flesh. And so we have to ask the question, and that's what Jesus is asking of us today. Why can we not see it? Why is it not obvious to us? Is it harder because we're involved in it? Is it hard to see and identify what we might be a part of, knowingly or unknowingly? It's hard to name what we might be trying to hold on to, isn't it? Power, the ability to control, or wealth. And Jesus calls us out on it, doesn't he? Jesus says, you know, you can look at the clouds. I don't know. Do I have a picture of the clouds? I'm going to say no. Okay. Thank you. When we first got here, that was the very first thing in Florida. When you go boating, you better know how to read those clouds when you're out on the water. Because the first time you get stuck in a thunderstorm, you're never going to get stuck in a thunderstorm again. For our boaters out there, am I not speaking the truth? Yes. And so we know how to read clouds and know that the storm is coming. Get out, get ready. How is it that we know that when the wind blows from the south, it's going to be a hot one? Jesus says, you know these things, but you can't see the inbreaking of God happening all around us. And it's a great question that I thought of. Is it that we don't want to see it, or that we see it and we don't want to do anything about it? Because we know that it means that there's going to be change, that things will not be the same. And Jesus tells us, you will be shaken, not stirred. Your world will be rocked. The power structures that exist today will be crushed. You know, Mary sings this in what we call the Magnificat. When she discovers that she's pregnant, the mighty will be cast down from their thrones, the rich sent away empty, the poor will be lifted up. It's not like we didn't know that this was going to happen. We are walking through an unprecedented time in our history. What is it that we need to see? What is it that we have grown numb to? Because each and every one of us has indeed grown numb to something. Who is it that we need to see? Who is it that we have grown numb to? We, you and I, we are disciples of Jesus Christ, the living God. And as disciples, we need to ask these questions. What and who is it we need to see? What or who is it that we have grown numb to? And when we see the what, and when we see the who, our question then is going to be, now what? What's next? These are not easy questions to answer. But Jesus invites us into a new way of living in Him, in the risen Christ. And in Christ, we will have an ongoing conversation. And we need to have this conversation together. We, you and I, we need to be shaken and not stirred together. So on this day, let us go forth from this place. Let us see it. Let us name it. And let's start shaking it up together. Amen.